Not exactly. Well, I can see it, but it's back to the front. Well.
Your circles.
All right, yeah.
I had to do it linear and visual. So I got my gates over here as I'm starting to go through them, and then I mark off Roman numerals and then the cross for five, so I can keep track of this area, and then this is the body parts.
Yeah.
So I had to do it like that because I found I was missing some.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm enjoying this. And the further I go along, I'm enjoying it more.
Yeah, good. Definitely good. Yeah. No, I mean, some people just find different ways to how it works for them, and that's great. I mean, it's just these things are really just things to open up a door, then you can go through and then find what works for you. You know, there's no right or wrong. You know, I mean, I'm doing a starting a series now, looking at these pathways. So I'm sort of following these pathways sort of linearly through into each step and then whatever. And you know, when I get to the gateways, you know, it's like, you know, we do them one at a time, which aren't in a circle because you sort of just engage them and then learn how to do it. So, hi, it's Kimberly.
Hi.
Hiya, all right.
I thought we were at 10 this morning.
No, it's 9.
Oh, okay. Oops.
It's okay.
here.
Not to worry. Okay. So yeah, I mean, you know, there's many ways to engage. We just need to find what works for us and what works for one person. The illustrations of things. Some people see it better. So some people like circles where they go round the circle and then go through. Other people like, okay, and if I follow a pathway and I go to each one. In reality, they're all just senses of our spirit, soul, and body that we engage with. We're just learning. You know, the key in this is, it's like when you first build a house, you lay the foundations and then you start putting the walls up and you have scaffolding up to help you get higher with the walls and put the roof on. But once you've built the house, you live in it. You don't use the scaffolding. So a lot of these exercises are just like scaffolding. They help us build the house that then we then live in. So we live in with our gates open and our spiritual senses activated and intuition flowing and revelation flowing, and that's how it works. You know, so a lot of the exercises about opening gates and all those things really are like the scaffolding. Once they're open and you're functioning in them, that's how you live. You know, your reverence will guide your conscience. Revelation will touch your imagination. Basically, that's how we function, that's how we live. But to start with, we're just learning, okay, I've got a gateway. What is it? How does it open? Is there anything blocking it? What do I need to do to see God flow through it more? How do I surrender that gateway? A lot of it is just practice, and it's like the scaffolding of the house. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. I open my first love gate. And I let my spirit flow with the river of life through all the other gates so that I can sense an atmosphere of the spirit around me and I can operate in that atmosphere. Then I can look into that atmosphere, I can speak out of that atmosphere. That because I've spent several years opening up all the gates and creating the pathways. So they're my pathways now. I can go to the garden of my heart and engage there. I follow the pathway back sometimes into heaven. Go into the river of life there, whatever, because they're now my developed pathways that I have, by personal experience, have imprinted within me that now allows me access. Some of these things are just the initial exercises that open us up to them, and then we begin to function in them. You know, I don't think too much now about, okay, my spirit's going to go through this gate to touch that gate to touch that gate. It just flows because it's used to flowing. You know, and I tend to flow through certain gates more than others because that's how I am wired up. Other people will flow through intuition a lot, whereas I tend to flow through revelation more than intuition, although sometimes I do get that. And if I choose to, if I need a situation where it would be useful for intuition, I can choose to get the flow to come through and touch my emotions or to touch my mind and give me revelation and insight into something. You know, so yeah, basically practicing doing it is really where we all start, you know. And I still open my first love gate up every day and experience the presence of God and surrender my spirit to Him and yoke myself to Him and do all that before I usually step back into the realm of heaven and start ruling and doing things, you know, because everything has to flow out of relationship, you know, not for it. You know, I think that's the key. Don't try and do things for your relationship with God. Do things from your relationship with God. And it's all about relationship and intimacy. You know, even some of the rulership things in the heavens sound quite technical because they're kingdom language, you know, about ruling a kingdom. But actually everything flows through relationship, you know. So we don't do things out of institutional or organizational thing, we do things functioning out of our relationship, flowing out of it in life, you know, which is good. So, yeah. Okay. So, you said you had a couple of questions. Anyone, please feel free to ask. Yeah, just unmute yourself if you want to ask something. You do that? Okay.
Yes, I was wondering if you had ever seen or heard of the dialogue room. I had an opportunity to go there.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard anything spoken about it. And in this room, there were a lot of elders.
Yeah.
A lot of the forefathers and a lot of old books.
Right, yeah. And what did you do when you went there?
I was given an assignment.
Yeah, right.
And I was not to go back until I completed this assignment. And so now I have completed the assignment. And that will probably be my next journey back into there.
Sure, yeah. I've not heard that anyone call it a dialogue room, but I have been where you've described. And I have had missions and quests assigned to me there to go and fulfill. So I know where you're talking about, and I know where I went to get there. And I met Enoch there particularly, who set me some things on a pathway to do some things. It's one of those things that God wants to give us those type of assignments. Then he often uses those, whether you call them elders or some of the ancient ones, if you like, who can give us those assignments. Sometimes he'll do it directly, but you know, it is a place. I've been to a place like that, and I've heard of other people, but I didn't call it a dialogue. In fact, I didn't call it anything, to be honest. I've just been there a few times and got assignments. I never really thought about what is it called, because I just went there. But I did have dialogue when I went there, because I was given this, and I was sort of like, what's all this about, you know? You know, it sounded fun, but again, you know, there's so many places in the realms of heaven that we've yet to discover, and we get to see them in ways that we can engage in and relate to. And you know, now you know you can go back there and you can get another assignment, which is awesome. You know, it's great. You know, and then, you know, once you've got that assignment, then maybe you can go to the angel court and get angels assigned to it to help you. There's other things you can then do once you've been given an assignment, which then you do learn what to do with it. You know, it takes, you know, I didn't know when I first had my assignment. I was clueless because it sounded really weird what I was asked to do. And the reward for doing it was pretty interesting as well. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, and I didn't know where this place was until I took someone else on a journey and they went to this place and they said, I went here and I saw this. And I thought, hey, I've been there. How did you get there? Where was it? You know, and we sort of, oh, all right, that's where it was. And it's fun exploring and finding out these things. Yeah, pretty good, you know. We just get to understand more about how we outwork assignments as we progress in understanding and revelation and, you know, and it's all, as I say, it's a process of tutoring and training that we go on, you know, and the assignments we get given now are training assignments that later on will release greater assignments if we're faithful. Because when you're faithful with little, then you receive much, you know, and you'll get more as you're faithful with those. You know, and the assignments you may get given later on may have things that you need to do different things with. You know, I had recently I've been to that room and had a sort of a fresh assignment with something that I was thinking, how do I do that? You know, how what am I supposed to do? But now I can go and talk to wisdom because wisdom is one to help us with assignments and ruling. So I went to talk to wisdom and I got some insight from her. Sometimes it's like I go onto my mountain or my throne and I talk to the angel that's there with me to help me understand certain things. How do I do things? You know, so it's a real fun journey that we're on. So pretty awesome. Yeah.
Well, I, you know, since I haven't made so many trips into the heaven realms, you know, I wanted to go back to places that I had been before, and so I went back to the dialogue room, and their first question to me was, did you complete the assignment?
Mm.
And I said, no. And they told me, do not come back until you complete the assignment. And it was just like, okay. But I got online to get a definition of what a dialogue room is.
Mm-hmm.
And the best I could come up with, it's a home for a unique series of discussions about issues of philosophical and practical concern. And the Texas State has a room with a library in it called the Dialogue Room.
Right.
So we get back to the library again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the symbolic nature of what you saw also, the ancient ones, our elders, it shows that some of these things are leading you to discover the ancient paths. And the pathways that meet on wisdom's heights are some of the ancient paths that we have to follow, and we have to bring back into understanding that which has been lost. And that's why you're seeing the old books and the old things, because what they're sending you to do, and the implication in the future is, this is about bringing back and reinstituting things that have been lost. So that we can engage in those ancient things from a fresh perspective now, because the knowledge was lost. You know, there's knowledge that has been lost, which God wants to restore. And so, if He can get us in there and get us functioning there, then we will have some revelation, I think, of ancient things that we need to get restored. You know, so some of what you see. Will help you understand the nature of what the place is. So everything you saw was like old, you know, and that's what I saw. It was almost like this old, and like Enoch was like really old, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. You know, because Enoch wants us to walk in the same ways that he did when walking with God, you know, which is pathways and assignments and different things. So it's pretty good.
Is that on Isaiah 30:20? It says that the teachers will be hidden no more, and with my own eyes I shall see them. Do you feel like this is one of the places that the teachers are, or have you seen hidden teachers that have been hidden in the corners that have come out? What do you think that scripture is talking about?
Well, yeah, I think something like we're just saying. I mean, if there are ancient things and ancient paths that have been trod before, which have been lost, and God wants to bring back, and He is using the ancient ones. And there are some. I know there's a friend of mine who I online we call Mike Danforth, and he has met some of the hooded ones, and they've visited him over years, and they've brought back some of this things to him, which has opened up realms of understanding to him. And it's the same, yeah. I think there is a lot of ancient knowledge and ancient wisdom and ancient understanding that we have lost.
Amen.
They had, and they still have, and they are tasked with revealing it to us. So I do believe you're right. Yes, there are, you know, described as teachers, but they have ancient knowledge that they want us to come back into, and so that we can begin to operate in that going forward, you know. But it's all a bit of a discovery and a journey that we're on.
Exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because we just never know what's coming up next, you know. And there's always deeper levels of progressive revelation on everything. That's why it's really good to go back to the places you've been before. Because what you do is you create a pathway for those places of re-engagement. Many people have had encounters over the years that they've had the one encounter, but they never went back to it, drew from it, meditated around it, revisited it, and then went back into it to get something further, as it then became a stepping stone or a platform for further engagement. They just have the same testimony that they had 20 years ago. Oh, I had this vision. Well, okay, well, what did you do with it? Did you go back to it? Did you? Well, no, I just had this wonderful vision. Isn't it great we can have visions? But as you say, have you completed the assignment? Have you done the vision? Have you outworked it? And a lot of people are still had visions and never actually outworked what they were, and God is still waiting them to complete and be faithful with their initial assignments so that He can release greater assignments to them. And there's greater knowledge and greater wisdom that will go with those assignments and outwork them. So it is really fun, and it's a journey of discovery. It's a quest, really, an adventure that we get to go on. Which is really great. I do love it. So, okay. So, have you got anything, Kimberly?
Let's see. There we go. I think I'm on now.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, last time we were talking, I think. Oh, where did I go?
Yeah.
Oh, there I am.
Yeah.
last time we were talking, I think that week you were really. I think on several of the hangouts you had talked about, you know, getting your daily mandate and getting that authorized. I have to tell you, I've been doing that like every day, and I have had some of the most extraordinary things happen. Like, you know, even when I'm going out and getting ready to do something, I'm like, you know, God, I just want, you know, to make sure you're really involved in this. So I get my mandate, and I'm like, it's been like a scavenger hunt. Mm. It's just been really wild. And so, I just found that so amazing and helpful, and, you know, just really, and I found that as I've done that, you know, I really sense the partnership of heaven, you know, where you have... you know, the host involved, you have other beings involved, it's just really been extraordinary.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. I mean, it's always great to get the practical testimonies of what it's like when you engage. But the great thing is you've engaged. You know, you've gone and sought it, you've put it into practice, which is what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, if it's all theoretical, then... it's great knowledge, but actually it needs to be personal experience. So the fact that you've gone there, you've pursued it, it's become something which is a delight, which creates an even greater desire to go back, isn't it? So to do more. So it's great. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I was just really amazed, like, as you know, because I've, you know, had lots of experiences with the host, you know, during worship or you know, just people coming and visiting when, you know, you're just waiting on the Lord or whatever. But I really found that as I was getting the mandates, it just became way more active.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I was really excited by that, because I'm like, wow, there's a lot. You just realize, you know, when you're partnering with heaven and you're just every day, you know, like, this is really what God intended us to do. You know, isn't like, I don't know, it just became so much more real to me, you know, not just like the occasional or, you know, hear the, you know, just during worship or whatever, but just being so integrated in every part of your life.
Absolutely, yeah. No, definitely so. I mean, when heaven recognizes us as a shadow of what it's like in heaven, so when Jesus is on the throne of our life and where the canopy of angels come round us when this partnership takes place, you can begin to sense that. And once then you take those mandates, and in operating in those mandates, then you then can see that, create the atmosphere around you. So you can take the authorization you have and let the rivers of living water and let your spirit begin to engage around, and then you can then look into that and see the activity that's going on around you and feel it, as you say, and you sense that the canopy of angels is coming over you. You know, and Jesus had, you know, 12 legions of angels at his disposal. And it's like, so do we, you know, and we have our own personal angels that we can, are there to minister to us who have the heirs of salvation, and they're ministering spirits, you know, and so it's awesome to engage with them. And so many, it's a big struggle for a lot of people with the angelic realm, because there's just been such restriction put on it by religious things to hinder us engaging in that realm and to sense and to feel their interaction, you know. And so much, I think, of what is the angels, people have just attributed to the Holy Spirit doing things, and the reality is it's angelic ministers. God sent angels to do most of his bidding. You know, when you actually think of the Holy Spirit coming, he filled people. He came at Pentecost, and yes, there was a sense of coming to fill people when the house was shaken in Acts chapter 4, but generally he sent angels to do his bidding, and he sent angels with messengers, and he sent angels to open prison doors and bring visions to people, which we've just sort of almost just forgotten, really. So it's great to sort of start to engage and to actively be participating and partnering with heaven, as you say. And there's so much more in that. Because then once we start to create the atmosphere of heaven around our lives, then people will engage with that when they come across us, like Peter's shadow healing people. Well, how did Peter's shadow heal people? Because the manifestation of the heaven was coming through him and around him as a gateway of heaven on earth. Because as we're a house of God, we're a gateway of heaven. And so we manifest heaven around us as it flows through us, so we control the atmosphere, so we rule, so we change the atmospheres of places we go to. You know, where it says in John 16, the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, righteousness, judgment, and stuff. Well, we need to expect that those people who come near to us will sense also the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, and it will bring them under a conviction. And some people will recognize a need and begin to start opening up dialogue and opportunities, because they're sensing a realm which is touching their spirit, not just their soul. And most of the realms touch people's souls, but we need to touch people's spirits. And that we do that by letting our spirit create that atmosphere around us, and then we control that atmosphere by ruling and administering and speaking into it and having an expectation in faith of what will happen when people come across us. So we frame our world with the words that we speak, and as we get those mandates, we use those mandates to frame our world. And what we then have authorization to do is to create that reality around us that we've received as a mandate, to basically manifest it into this order out of heaven around our lives, because we are administrating it by what we say, what we think, and it's flowing through us and around us. And I think the possibilities of that are pretty awesome going forward to change things and to really, really affect the atmosphere on Earth, because we're a gateway. You know, and we can do that individually, but when we start to doing it together, and when we particularly start to engage the atmosphere of the Earth by sending the angels there to deal with that which creates culture and that which affects and causes darkness and blindness and on the Earth, then we start to see an opening up of the everlasting doors and a greater dimension of flow that comes around us then, as we get a manifestation of glory. Because at the moment, we're sort of manifesting the presence of the Spirit, but we want manifestations of glory where we begin to shine transfigured, and that will be a whole different ballgame, you know, because it will freak a lot of people out, but it will also touch a lot of people's lives and see them, you know, they will engage with the manifest presence of God in a objective way, not just a subjective one. And so I believe God is moving us from presence to glory. And therefore, we've got to be able to stand in glory and to minister in glory and to release glory, which is why we go into the glory realm and stand there and learn to operate there and get used to operating in glory. Because what happened when the glory cloud came into the temple that the priest couldn't stand to minister? Well, it's no point us not being able to stand to minister if we're supposed to minister the glory of God. So we've got to get used to it. And it talks about in Jude about being able to minister in the glory, you know. And, you know, I think everyone thinks, oh, wow, when the glory comes, we'll be all on our faces before God. Well, actually, God doesn't want us to be on our faces before him. He wants us to minister that glory, so we have to get used to it. And you do. You know, when we had sort of outpourings of the Spirit and sort of revival settings, the weight of the presence of God, it was just so heavy. You know, we called it TWOMP, the weight of my presence. And and it felt really, and some of the musicians just had a struggle even to stand, you know. But as we went into that and we learned to minister it, it became normal environment for us. So we would just flow with it. People came in for the first time, and they were just like, whoa. And we were like, we're used to operating in this now because we've been here operating so long, and we need to learn how to operate in glory. It's going to be great fun learning, you know. But, yeah, really, really good. Partnering with heaven's just excellent. So, very good.
Okay. Yeah, no, you know, in the start of this whole process, I would have periods of time where I was literally like inebriated for like a week. Yeah. And I haven't had that in a while, and I was kind of thinking like, oh, what's going on? Did I, you know, but I think I understand. Like, it just doesn't affect me the way it used to affect me.
Yeah.
Like, I would be under tables all the time in public, but I didn't care because I knew it was God, and I just wanted it so badly. I just didn't care what I looked like. But, you know, I wanted to go back to something you were talking about. I have a theory, and, you know, I've been looking at this. You know, we had I have a friend who's a musician, and he was looking at the frequency of sound, and I can't remember when you were talking about it, but you were talking about, you know, the distortion back in the 40s. And, you know, I've been looking at the frequency of oils. And, you know, we used to go out on the streets a lot and pray for people and see radical stuff. And I was thinking about that, and like when you were mentioning about Peter and his shadow, you know, we have a theory, and I could be wrong. I'm fine with that, but you know, I think what I was thinking is, you know, heaven is such a higher frequency,
yeah.
And the more time you spend there, the higher your frequency becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, my aunt was and I were talking about that, and she was like, "That's what she thinks the shadow aspect is."
Yeah.
Is Peter was so in tune with heaven, his frequency meshed with heaven, that like literally when he walked by people, the frequency he emitted just healed people. Mm. So I just find this whole thing with frequency, I'm just really interested in it, with the whole frequency. And you were talking the other day, I think, about the whole thing about when frequencies match, you walk through or something like that, where you had that encounter in heaven. I'm like, there's just something about, I'm just fascinated by frequency right now. I'm just fascinated by it. But I think that's what I was thinking it was, is because I just love to go and worship in heaven. I just, it's my favorite thing to do. And so I think that as I've done that, you know, when I pray for people to be healed, it's just easy, because I think my frequency just gets higher.
Yeah, begin to flow out of that, definitely, yeah. I mean, when I sort of learned how to focus it, in that there was a sense of a resonance is where two frequencies come together, and the higher frequency brings the other frequency into alignment, and so they resonate together. And so, you know, you get it with like two guitar strings. If you put two guitars next to each other, play one string, then the other string will vibrate without being touched, because there'll be sound frequency which vibrates it and brings it back into alignment. So the more we connect up with heaven, the more our bodies receive the light and the sound and the fragrance and the everything, the different of heaven, that we then can release that. And I began to, yeah, well, when Jesus started talking to me about it and sharing about these words, I didn't understand them particularly. And as soon as you start looking them up, you find a whole lot of New Age stuff, and it's like, you know, and I thought, yeah, am I sort of, you know, where am I with this? Because it was just all new, and particularly when he started talking about string theory and quantum understanding and how to understand the quantum realm, engaging with this realm, and you know, I'm like, whoa, this is sort of weird. But you know, the more I've looked at it and the more I've encountered it, the more I've realized, you know, this is how this whole realm is functioning. This whole realm is vibrating with the frequency of in the strings which were within the sort of the space between everything that keeps it all together, and the energy to keep that all together comes out of that the spiritual realm. You know, it just keeps the voice of Jesus, if you like, vibrating within everything, because it says in Ephesians 4:6 that he's in and above and through everything. You know, so that means his divine power and divine ability is in me, and it's in everything if I can engage it. So I practice doing something similar, you know, drawing from a mandate or a word of faith that I'd received, bringing that through my faith gate, and then mixing it with the grace that contained within my hand or within my words. And initially I started with my hand. So, okay, I have faith because God has given me a word to say pray to someone or pray for the sick or whatever. Now I'm going to mix it with the grace that's in operation, and it started to produce anointing. So my hand would vibrate or get hot because the frequency that I was vibrating at was in alignment with what God had said. And so I could release that anointing or charge of power into someone's physical body, but I would target it at their body, which wasn't in frequency. Because what happens when someone is sick, part of their frequency of their overall body drops, or the frequency of particular organs drop, and they're not healthy and functioning. So you can bring that higher frequency, which is God's will, if you like, outworked in his power, and apply it. You know, and then you can also do the same with words. You can speak with the because your words are just waves of sound that carry within them the grace of God with faith that mean your words can be creative, your words can speak to DNA, it can speak to cells, it can speak to trauma, it can manifest heaven through what you say into someone's life. You know, and then the more we do it, the more the flow goes and the easier it is to practice it. You know, and yeah, you can learn to connect with the frequency of an inanimate object and change it to allow you to go through it or your hand to engage it, because you have matched the frequency of that vibration within the atoms, molecules of that substance with your own hand. There's two ways you can do it. You can match your hand with that frequency, and therefore you can put your hand through it. And that's how it's done. You know, and that's how you can walk on water. That's how you can do miraculous things. Miraculous things aren't magic. They're the higher laws of the frequency of heaven being applied to the realm of this law and taking precedent over it. So I can control the frequency of the vibrating molecules of water and make them solid under my feet if God wanted me to do that. So I know how it's done. You know, it's not in a particular season of my life that I'm looking to do that, although I do practice on certain things, particularly in terms of releasing anointing. You know, and releasing, you know, when I pray for someone for an impartation, I'm taking that frequency of what I have within my body and within the gifts that I have, and I'm imparting them by laying hands on someone to somebody else. Now, they're not going to receive everything I have, but they're going to receive an impartation of a seed that, if they nurture, can grow into a full-blown thing in their own lives. So we get to administer these frequencies, and yeah, fragrant oils, they operate in a higher frequency, and again, that again can bring the body back into alignment with its correct frequency. And when we bring our bodies into alignment with heaven, then we can operate in a different dimension. And our spirit, of course, can be connected there, flowing through our soul and body, connected here, so we can be a gateway of heaven. And that's why we've got to go beyond visitating that place and visiting heaven to living there and inhabiting that place, so that we can, like Jesus, always see what the Father's doing and always connect heaven to earth through our lives, because we're living there in dual realms at the same time, but bringing that resonance from heaven. So the first time I ever went round the Ark of the Presence of God, he started to speak to me about resonating with his will, coming into a resonant agreement with his will, with the frequency. So, and I was like, oh, what is all that? You know, why didn't you just give me it plain English? You know, but actually it actually, you know, and I talk to God like that, you know, because I'm like, oh, you know. But actually, there was a reason for it, because that would be the parables of modern use that people can now understand. You know, Jesus wouldn't have spoken in parables of resonant frequency, harmony, because no one would have understood it. And no one would have understood it until past 100 years, probably, or even less. So now we have those parables to use that can explain spiritual principles that are heavenly, that now have some sort of earthly parallel. Whereas Jesus said to Nicodemus, well, you don't even get what I'm talking about being born again. How on earth are you going to get heavenly things that have got no earthly parallel? Well, now there are, so we can use them. And so, you know, when the will of God is revealed, it is like his voice carrying a frequency that then I come close enough to begin to vibrate at the same frequency, that then I can then release that frequency when I come and bring that through into this realm. So there's a whole load of stuff around that, which is pretty good fun. And, you know, we're starting to learn about it and engage it and see it released, you know, and there's so much more. I mean, we're just touching the thing about, you know, creating things and bringing things and manifesting things out of the realm of heaven and manifesting them in this realm, you know, and we will get to do an awful lot more of that. Jesus did plenty of it. You know, he disappeared and went through people and walked on things and levitated into the air and did other things. You know, we just get to do that. You know, because if we in our own bodies match the frequency of the air, then we can float. You know, because that just what you can do if you choose to practice, and particularly if you feel called to minister those things. You know, because then you have a mandate to do it, then it becomes more effective. You know, I think people try to do a lot of things without the mandate to do it because it might be not the right season for them, because it sounds really good fun, you know, and it is, you know, but these things aren't party tricks or magic tricks. They're to enable us to outwork the kingdom and outwork his will and purpose. So Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Jesus could have flipping disappeared, come out the other side of the world, but he didn't see the Father doing that, so he didn't. You know, and so some of the things, although we do get some fun to experiment and you know, play like kids with some of it, we have to learn how to operate maturely in it. You know, and that isn't to show off or do any. It's actually a function. So yeah, I want my presence and the atmosphere that I create around me to bring glory to God, not to me. And so we always just have to be careful that we're not doing things from a need to for our own recognition and things like that, but because we just want to bring glory to God and we want him to be honored and we want everything to be focused on him and not us. And so we want to do wonders, not so people will wonder, how did we do that? But they will just think that has to be God. It has to be supernatural, because there is no natural explanation to it, but there is in a supernatural understanding of how the laws of heaven work and how they connect up with this realm. You know, it's great fun though, sort of exploring all these things. You know, and there's just, you get, when God starts to release revelation, people start to pick up bits of it all over the world, and you see it come out. You know, which is where you just know that, you know, God is just releasing these things right now for us. You know, and people operate differently with them, you know. Some people get to operate with fragrant oil, some people get to operate with sound, some people get to operate with just frequencies with their own body. You know, God just shows different people different things. So we get not all to be the same, which is great fun, you know. So, yeah, pretty good.
No, I just find it so interesting because, you know, it's just, you know, when you understand, starting to understand his ways, they're just way more practical than we ever imagined.
Yeah.
And that is just so exciting to me because, you know, instead of, you know, I totally get that this is obviously to expand kingdom. But I just find it so much more interesting and more relational because it's like God wants us to know this stuff.
Yeah.
I just love that so much. You know, it's just so such a precious thing to me. You know, because it's just so different. You know, when I first got saved, it was like, oh, these people up here get to do this, and, you know, not for you. But I'm like, no, God just wants us to know him. And I just love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is it's really important fact. You know, everything flows out of relationship. Therefore, it's not dependent on earthly position or any of those things, or even maturity to a degree. Every new believer can get to know God and hear his voice. Yeah, we just need to expand our understanding of what we expect to happen when we first encounter God. You know, actually, no, it's not going to be 2 years later when you're going to do this. No, it's now. You know, and I love the idea of, like, okay, you've opened up the door of your life for God to come and live in you. Now he has opened up the door for heaven and you can go and live with him now. So let's go. But wouldn't it be great when we pray for salvation for people to take them into heaven straight away, get them plugged into the atmosphere of heaven, enable them to experience the presence of God there? Why not? Revelation 3:20, what follows on? Revelation 4:1. You open the door to me, I open the door to you.
I did that with somebody. Yeah. I got them saved and brought them right into the garden. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was very exciting because, you know, it was just such a different way, you know, bringing people to the Lord. I'm like, well, I'm just going to introduce them to the Lord. And it was great. It happened. She saw everything. She saw the throne room. So, I mean, it was extraordinary.
And why not? You know, because she now has a testimony which she will never be able to deny. You know, rather than, oh, well, we'll pray a prayer and we'll hope something is going to happen. No, actually, just turn to follow God and now open up your life to him and, wow, he opens up the whole of heaven to you. Why not? You know, why shouldn't we have everything as experiential? Everything has been theoretical for so long. It needs to be experiential because that's what knowing God is. We can't know about him. We need to know him. And if we know him, we can hear him and see him and engage with him and have fellowship with him and relate to him, listen to him, you know, get to hang out and enjoy building and establishing the relationship by spending time in fellowship with him in a supernatural way. You know, we've just taught people to do it as a Western educational process. Read the Bible and try and study it rather than, oh, read what Jesus said and now enter into it and engage it yourself. Because it's a real experience for you, so experience it. You know, so we have to change everything that we do to make it an experiential, relationship-orientated encounter with the living God rather than theoretical words of intellectual knowledge, which is going to mean we have to change everything. So it's awesome to hear a testimony where you led someone and did that, because that's exactly what we're going to be doing here and what I'm going to be encouraging people. We need to find new ways of helping people engage so that they experience God, and it's not a theory. It is real, because heaven is just as real, in fact more real than this realm, because it is the realm that this realm comes out of and actually is held together by. So it is the real realm. This one just is the projection of it. So, hey, let's really make everything experiential in everything we do. You know, when people get baptized in water, okay, well, let's open up heaven over them and get God to speak over them. Hey, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. You know, he's gonna share things for me because he's going to be like me. You know, because that's what Jesus had over his baptism. Affirmation of who he was and identity. Well, let's actually help people engage that in their baptism. So when they're going under the water, actually, literally, they can experience everything being removed and they can actually experience God speaking over them and they can experience the Holy Spirit coming on them, you know, as a dove, if you like. So there's just all those things. I just think it was so exciting to find new ways of helping people to experience them in reality, you know, rather than things being religious duties and things that we do, but there's no reality in it for people, you know. And then we won't have people who are almost like premature babies who you have to spend so much time trying to even get to drink milk, let alone eat solid food, because they didn't come in for the right reason in the first place. So we introduce them into a living relationship, and that's what they'll want to continue with. You know, if we give them a prayer to pray, then they'll just think they've got to keep praying prayers without anything engagement. So it's like I really love that as something that you did there, which is brilliant. So very good.
It was all the Lord. I mean, he told me like 3 days before it happened. And he says, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and then just bring her right to the garden. And I'm like, okay. So I let the person that I've been talking to about this person know. I'm like, well, this is her appointed time, the Lord said. So we're just going to do this. And I actually, it was very strange because I had to do it all online. She was on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. And I only had 45 minutes. But she got, she received everything, like the Holy Spirit deliverance, and went right into the garden all within 45 minutes.
Well, why not?
Awesome.
Why wouldn't we expect something like that to take place? You had a mandate. God spoke to you. You were obedient. You did what he said, and he did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
It's great. Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's just way more interesting. Way better. It's just a way better way to do things. I was like, when I heard you say that the first time, I'm like, I'm just going to do that. So I'm just going to start doing it this way. I mean, I can go. Mm. I should be able to bring everybody else right out of the gate.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So it's awesome. Your hangouts have been so helpful. I just, you know, thank you so much for doing these. It just really helps.
Yeah. Well, it's my desire just to help people and to encourage people that this is all possible. You know, it's just that if we pursue it, then we can learn how to do these things. This is the thing; it isn't mystical. You know, I think that unfortunately, so a lot of the sort of this new mystical thing has sort of put this air around it that makes it so spooky that people don't feel that it's for them. It's not normal. This is actually normality. This is the real Christian life. You know, this is what really is normal. Everything else just isn't. You know, which is pretty good to engage. I mean, I'd sort of, you know, feel really blessed to be able to help. You know, so it's great. So welcome. Okay. Well, perhaps we'll just leave it there. I'll